You're live, Pastor.
Am I live?
Yep.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Did you hear that capacity crowd? That was incredible. All right.
All three of them, huh?
Yeah.
It's all right.
We're going to. Let me get my fan on me.
Everybody out there in YouTube. And on me.
And we are ready to go. Praise the Lord. Bible study early this morning, Pastor Ben. Right. It took me a long time to get the notes together, but I don't know why. But he gave me the message early this morning. So I was able to take care of some things. We need to pray in. Jackie's going to come pray me in. Because she is a prayer warrior.
She's a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this pastor that gives us such great messages. Thank you for this life that we have. Thank you for another day here. Thank you for this beautiful world that you've given us with all the beautiful things in it. And thank you for all the people that we have to love.
Amen.
Please help us. And please watch over us, and please come soon, because we sure need you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I went out to lunch with Jackie and Charles, Pastor.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I didn't want to make you jealous, but...
Yeah. That's how you
doing. Me and Drea's like, ooh, I'm getting tired. I'm glad we're going home. It's like, we out with a couple that's like, they probably went to another place after. They probably went and hung out somewhere else. Huh? You did?
Yeah.
On the way home?
No, in the parking lot.
Oh, we shouldn't have left.
So I called my daughter. We didn't know, so I called my daughter. And at first, I'm like, oh, no, I'm always like that. And then I seen him again, and I go, no, never mind, we're old. I called my daughter back.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you should have called me back. Hallelujah. Yeah, we shouldn't have left. Okay. Yeah, until you walked to the car.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got in the car and I kind of backed out and felt
fine. Yeah. Okay, I have a few cards here, Pastor Ben. I want to say this one first right here is, he sent me this, look, this Navy coin, military. I think what you guys are doing, raising funds for military families, is an excellent idea. I don't know who came up with it, but I'm very thankful that you guys are doing that. And it says, thank you, Pastor Sandy, for your wisdom. May God bless you and your family. Nicholas George, I'm going to try to say the last name. It seems kind of like it's a Greek last name. Gianna Kakos. Yeah, Gianna Kakos. And he lives in Wesley Chapel, Florida, Water Navy base in this... USN Combat Brown Water Navy, Wesley Chapel, Florida. And he has a YouTube, so I'm going to check that out. And good scripture. Thank you so much, Nicholas. And thank you for the coin, especially. That is going to be nice. Now I have an Army one and I have a Navy one. Anybody out there in the Air Force, let me know. So, Pastor Ben,
yes, sir.
I need you to, this is from Tennessee, and Morrison, I don't know, Debbie Morrison, is this from Debbie Morrison? Okay, and it says, I continue to enjoy the weekly Sunday services, Wednesday Bible study, and Thursday Hebrew clubs, and that will not be interrupted, thanks to my prayer time with the Lord. Says, looking forward to all God has planned. God bless you, Pastor. You and your wives remain faithful to all S4C members around the world. And we are all around the world. Some of the phone calls I'm getting, Pastor Ben, are from crazy places that you wouldn't think we were reaching. So I just thank God that he's reaching a lot of people. And of course, I always thank my people in Germany because they spread S4C like crazy over there, Pastor Ben.
I wish we could go.
Yeah. It hasn't been one of the trips on my dream list. And then, of course, I have from Jersey Girl. And what I do with the letter, I was just reading the letter. So, oh, here it is. Here's Jersey Girl. And I hope her shop is doing good. I know she had a hair salon there. I hope they're back open and everything is fine. Dear family, we rejoice in the great promise of our Lord's words. Thank you for preparing his bride for a soon return. All praise to our mighty God. Much love, Jersey Girl.
Jersey.
From Jersey. Hallelujah. All right. What I'm going to be doing tonight from the very beginning is talking about time. Because I know and understand that we're out of time. Like most periods of time were, where they were like, they didn't know if they were living in the end times or not, but they knew they were seeing signs.
Right.
With us, we've actually run out of time on Jesus' time clock, on the last generation time clock, on the 70-year, 80-year time clock, on the 6,000-year time clock, Jubilee time clock, all of the time periods for the church and for the church to be here have really run out. So we're like sitting here and we're waiting in 2021 for this glorious day of Pentecost. And if you do not know, Pentecost has not passed. Look at you, girl. You're looking beautiful. How you doing? Just hopping around, dancing and moving.
I'm so flat.
Barbara's here, and I think she's lost about 50 pounds. And she's
19
pounds. Wow, you look awesome. Praise God. Okay. And that's about it. Wow. And we got things going on. Conferences. What is this one here? Okay, good. People are fighting against what they're trying to do, and I really appreciate everybody who's fighting, because this is getting ridiculous. We have all these young people that are having heart problems behind trying to do what people are telling them to do, the right thing, and they're being hospitalized with heart problems at 14, 15, 16 years old. This is like absolutely just crazy, you know. And if I had a product that was doing all of this to people, I'd be in prison for life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thank you. I got it.
So here we are. We're talking about time today, okay? Because I want to talk to you about the fact that God called me to do this in 2003. And when he called me to do this in 2003, it was January 1st, 2003. And when I woke up that morning, God wanted to show me something concerning 6,000 years and how to count it in the Bible so you can see when 6,000 years ends. A day unto the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. And so I'm looking at this whole thing, this study that the Lord is guiding me through to show me that he has purposely counted every year in the Bible up till 2017 to let you know when the 6,000th year was, because the 6,000th year was very important. I thought, okay, it's the 6,000th year, so therefore, that's the 120th Jubilee. The last 1,000 years of existence on earth before we get a new heaven and a new earth is the millennial kingdom, where Jesus is reigning and ruling from Jerusalem in the temple for 1,000 years. So the 1,000-year millennium is one of the promises that we get, is that we get to live here on earth for 1,000 years with perfect rulership, because Jesus Christ will be reigning and ruling as king. And so we'll get to that and we'll read it later, but that 1,000-year millennium is the end of a 7,000-year plan. So let's talk about the plan, because the plan is for 6 days I'm going to create the world. Okay, on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God was giving us his plan. Then as we're going through the scripture, we find out that a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So his plan for the 1,000-year millennium is that he's going to have a day off, which is 1,000 years. So he begins it by creating the world in 6 days. And then he says the seventh day, he kadoshed it. He made it holy, and he said, this is my Sabbath day. And so God rested on the seventh day. And so this was a precursor to how he was going to run the whole world. For 6,000 years, he had planned to work. And then after the 6,000th year, 1,000-year millennium, and God is going to rest, which will be the Sabbath day of God. Okay? So that is the plan. So I'm like, well, this is pretty awesome. And one day I'm reading, let me see, should I read this now? Let's see what's on the front page of this. Yes, let's read Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, okay? Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. And it says, then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Okay. Now, let me explain to you in chapter 7 what is going on. Because in chapter 7, at the beginning of this, is about the end of the sixth seal. All the seals have been blown, right? Chapter 7 is the end of the tribulation. I want you to know that, okay? Matter of fact, let's go back to chapter 7 and begin reading from the beginning. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the wind of the earth to prevent the wind from blowing on the land, or on the sea, or any trees. Then I saw another angel come up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four living angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. So Christ is about to return, and he's had some servants on the earth who have been preaching the gospel during the tribulation. And he says, wait, before the judgment falls, let me seal the 144,000. And he says he took 12,000 from each of the tribe of Israel. Now, my question to God was, why 144,000? You know, because God doesn't just throw out numbers like 153 fish.
Right.
So he gives us 144,000. And he says, the reason I gave you the 144,000, Sandy, is because when this event happens, it's a testimony that my work week is done. I can now plan for my wedding. You understand? They're just the testimony to say that I worked my whole week. So I was like, how does 144,000 say that you worked a whole week? So the Lord had me go and look at the scripture that says, a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So I said, yeah, I understand that. But how is it that the 144,000 is talking about you've worked your full week? So, the Lord says, how many hours are there in a day? How many?
24
hours in a day. If you worked 6 days and you worked 24 hours a day for 6 days straight, how many hours would it be? 144.
I get it.
If you worked 6,000 days, 6,000 years, you would work 144,000 hours. So he said, nothing can happen until I put in my whole work week. Why is God putting in a whole work week? So God didn't just say 144,000 for no reason. He wanted you to know that this number is letting you know, it's a witness that I have now worked my full week, and now I can take my bride. So when God takes his bride, the 144,000 are released to start preaching the gospel as he goes into this honeymoon with his bride. But it's the end of the 144,000 work hours of a 6,000 year service.
That's crazy.
Okay?
That's so good.
So that's in Revelation. Now, that's the end of the tribulation. I need you guys to know and understand that. This 144,000 being sealed, because he's telling the angels, don't destroy anything until I seal the 144,000. Okay? So in this chapter, he seals all of the 144,000. And then the last one he says, and the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000, tribe of Joseph, 12,000, right? But then in verse 9, he says this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. I have to unbutton this top button.
Amen.
Okay. Here it is. So he says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Sunday, I asked you guys, who is this? Who are this great multitude of people with white on and praising God? And then as you go down reading into this chapter, the angel asks John, who are these people? And he says, you know, sir. And he says, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. These are all the people that were either martyred or have been taken up out of the great tribulation and have been saved by Jesus Christ out of the great tribulation. These people are not the church.
Right.
The church has been gone for 7 years. These are the people that after we leave, something happened that makes people believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Rather, it's angels preaching in midair, or rather they were with a friend who disappeared. These are people who are in the tribulation, and they either were martyred, either they got their heads chopped off, because that's what they're planning on doing, and or, you know, they die during the famine or during the heat wave or whatever, but they died believing and crying out to Jesus and not taking the mark and not doing what they were asking them to submit to society and worship the beast. These are the people that said, no, I believe in Jesus. And the Bible says there's a great multitude of them that no number can count. So no matter how many people get killed, we know that there are some millions that are not going to be wasted and in hell because they wanted to agree with what the Antichrist is doing. Now, I want us to go to, and the Lord's saying, don't go to Revelation chapter 14. It's going to prove something, but God's like, no, we got other things to do. Okay. If you're at the front page of your paper, you will see it says Romans chapter 8, verse 33. And it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, who are the elect of God?
The Jews.
They are God's elect. They are the chosen people that God chose to be the rejecters of Christ. God chose them to be the race of people that he would bring the Messiah through. That's why he called them Hebrews, because Hebrew just means to cross over. So he needed a race of people to cross over from heaven into earth. So God chose the Hebrews, and he called them Hebrews because those are going to be the people that I Hebrew with. I'm going to cross over with, which is what the word means, right? So he crosses over by using, but they are the elect. The numerical value of the word elect in the Greek is 144, okay? El kalaj. And so that numerical value of the elect is 144. And when he puts the seal on the elect who have been preaching the gospel, it's 144,000. Now, if you read the next verse, and I love this verse, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before time or iniquity or antiquity, right? And it says, his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So Jesus says that God had already worked out a plan for him and salvation before he even created the earth. Now we read this in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, now it's saying the Lord possess me in the beginning of his ways before time even began. So God had already had a plan for Jesus before he created earth and before he created time. Okay? That word, antiquity, which means before time, has the numerical value of, is kadim in Hebrew, and it's 144. So God, when he creates time, he says a day is going to be 24 hours, but a full workday is going to be 144 hours, because a day for them is going to be 1,000 years for me. So I'm going to work 144,000 hours and 6,000 years, and then I'm going to redeem, right? So this is all about God agreeing to work a full work week so that he can redeem both Christians and Jews out of the world. Okay. Now we gotta get going. Let me see. I'm gonna go over to another page, but I don't think that's where God's gonna lead me. And I was absolutely right. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 29. All the count, the numbers and everything are on the back for those 24 days and 24 hours and what God wants to do in the world. Now, it's amazing that our God has a letter system. The letter for Aleph is a one, but if you want to say 1,000 in Hebrew, you have to say Aleph.
Yeah.
But the letter Aleph is a one. But you can't say one. You can write a one is the Aleph, but to say 1,000, you have to say Aleph. So the one in Hebrew is a one, but it's to say it is 1,000. You understand?
Yeah.
So God already had a plan. Now, how many Alephs do you think are in the first verse of the Bible? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Six Alephs. So that means God has already been playing 6,000 years from Genesis chapter 1, that he's already planning a 6,000 year work. And now he says, I'm going to create the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, I'm going to rest. Wow, God's changing my whole Bible study. Appreciate you, Lord. Okay, so let's go to Genesis chapter 29. Because in Genesis chapter 29, we have this great occasion that has happened. And Jacob leaves his parents because his brother just married two sisters because they were living in Canaan, and all these black people were living in Canaan, right? So Esau married two black wives. And so Jacob's mom says to her husband, you know, Esau already married two sisters. They got braids and all this stuff. And we're supposed to be Hebrews and Jewish people. And how are we going to keep the Jewish line going if Jacob marries two sisters also? She says, oh, woe is me. I might as well be dead. Basically, if you read the scriptures, she's like, I might as well just forget about life. So she said, we're sending Jacob away. So Jacob goes to live with his relatives back in the land where they were, right? So he goes back and he's going there because he's going to get married there so that he marries a Hebrew girl and so they can keep their bloodline going, okay? I love her. I love moms. So he's there and he sees Rachel by this well, and Rachel is, of course, watering Rachel. And then, you know, and she explains who she is. And he kisses her and says, your dad is my uncle, and I came here to meet you. And so now Jacob and Rachel run back to the house. And Jacob starts working for her dad, Laban. And Laban comes to him in... Let's see, this is, I think, the 14th verse. Then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. This is true. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Laban had two daughters. The name of the older one was Leah, and the name of the younger one was Rachel. Leah had soft eyes. If this is weak, it means soft, okay? She had soft eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with who?
Rachel.
Rachel, and said, I will work for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years. okay, to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Okay, now, they're Jewish. Can he work 7 full years?
No.
The Sabbath is what? Rest. It's the Sabbath to the land. You have to rest. So he's really working 6 years, and then the 7th year, he knows that the land has to rest, so that would be the 7th year, but he's still there at the farm, right? So he works his full week, okay? He works his full week, and a Jewish work week, which is 6 days. And then he says, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, my time is complete, I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. Now, it doesn't say how long it took to everybody to get all the food together. He didn't tell him, and then all the food was already ready. You know what I mean? So I don't know whether it took 3 days for them to get everybody, because people had to get dressed and what they're going to wear and what do we prepare, kill the calves or the animal, prepare the food, get everything ready for this party that's about to happen, right? So the time from when he told her to the time when the wedding took place, we don't know. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as a maidservant. The morning came, and there was Leah. Is that the one he wanted?
No.
So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, it is not our custom to give the daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish the daughter's bridal week. So now she has to have a 7-day celebration. Finish her bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. So he says, so Jacob agrees to this. Do you understand? Now, back up, here's Jesus. All scripture is about me. What? The volume of every book that is written in the Bible is about Jesus. So how is this story about Jesus? Okay? Because Jesus is saying, I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have two brides, a matter of fact. The one that I wanted, which is Israel, I'm not going to get right away until I give the bride that I get, Leah, and I give her full celebration and bridal week. Then for another 7 years of service, I will get Rachel, the bride that I wanted. In essence, he's saying, I'm going to work for 6,000 years, and I'm going to get the bride that I didn't originally want, which is the Jews. I'm going to get the Gentile bride first, have a 7-year celebration, then I'm going to come back and marry the second bride, which is Israel. Mm-hmm. But Jacob has to agree to working an additional 7 years. And so here we have this situation where 6,000 years ended when? 2017. That means the wedding, the 144,000 hours are done. The wedding is being planned. Everything is being set up, right? So when is the wedding? So now the wedding is about to take place, but the older bride is getting married first. Who is the older bride? Who's the church?
Faith.
We believe by faith, okay? What does Israel believe by? The law of Moses. What came first, faith or the law of Moses?
Faith.
Abraham believed by faith, okay? After 400 years of slavery, they brought the law. Moses is by law, so the first daughter is faith, which is Leah, the older daughter. So those who believe by faith get married first. Those who believe by the law God is going to come back, rescue them, and then the second bride, okay? So this plan of this two weddings is going to happen, and the first bride to be taken is the bride that believed by faith, Leah, okay? What's your question?
We walk by faith, not by sight, right?
Yes.
Okay, but if Leah had the guys, which is Saul 5.
Yeah, you're getting too deep, brother. Okay. So here we go. You thinking about Leah's eyes. You stop it. Okay, so here we are. So he has Leah, and then 7 years later, he comes back and he ends up marrying Rachel as well. So the 6,000 year work time has to be completed. When did the 6,000 years end? If you guys don't have a copy of my 6,000 year count, you have to get the count. Because the count is so, when I did it, I didn't know it was prophetic. It was a prophetic count as well as it was an accurate count. I didn't know that the year 1948 was in the count, and that it was marked there for a reason, so that God would let you know that this is the year that was 1948. I did not know it would mark the year that Jesus was born, being 17 years before 4,000th year, because 2017 would be the end of 6,000 year. I didn't know all that. I just did the count and said, I've been in prison telling everybody 1948 to 2018 is the last generation. And God was showing me, no, 2017 is the end of the 6,000th year. Huh? Oh, I'll give it to you. I know you. We're like buddies. So, the 6,000 year count. So, I was doing the count and everything, and then one day I came to church and I looked at Revelation chapter 20. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20.
He's taking you way away from.
Huh? Yep. Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Now listen, Revelation chapter 20 is just letting you know what's going, the importance of this thousand year millennium. Okay. And here it is. It says, and as I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So how long is Satan going to be locked up for? 1,000 years. Why?
God's rest day.
Sabbath day. I'm not going to be chasing Satan around on during the Sabbath. He's like, this is my Sabbath day. It is my day to rest. So I'm locking Satan up. Okay. Now notice that we've used the word thousand two times so far, right? Then it says in verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life till the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are over, verse 7, Satan will be released from his prison and there's no comma there, verse 8, and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners, Gog and Magog. So, from chapter, in chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, you see the word thousand how many times? Six times. 2017, which just happened to be the exact time of the 6,000 year count, was from Adam to 2017 is 6,000 years. So God wanted to show me, I had already planned it. I put it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, so you'll know when 6,000 years end. Why? Because the end of my work week, a wedding is being planned, and people need to know that time period has been done. My work for you, the church, is done. My planning now is the wedding. So as the church waits for the wedding day, we're still here on earth, and God is not going to call off the wedding because somebody said, oh, the rapture is going to be on this date and didn't happen. So God goes, oh my goodness, the rapture didn't happen, so let's call off the wedding. The wedding's been planned for 6,000 years. You understand? And the bridegroom has worked for 6,000 years. So because you get the rapture date wrong, doesn't mean that God's going to call off the wedding day.
Amen.
Okay? So the wedding is being planned. All of these things are showing us that the time periods are running down. Here it is. Okay. What are the requirements to know that we're at the end of time? The first requirement is that the 6,000 years have been completed. That's the first one. And they have. The second requirement is that Israel must be back on the earth, back in the land in 1948. So the rebirth of the nation of Israel should have put the whole world on alert that Israel is back in the land, which is an end time prophecy leading up to the return of Christ. So let's go to Psalms. Chapter 48. And when you get there, say amen. And when I get there,
15 minutes.
Hallelujah. That's plenty of time. Are you in Psalms 48? Because we're gonna do some more of this tomorrow. Because we have to nail down the time. Because we need to know there's no more time left. We need to know there's no more time left. There's no more like, well, maybe next year. We can't say maybe next year. There's only seven more years on the last generation clock.
Amen.
You understand? There's no more saying, you know, well, maybe in 10 years or maybe next year. The time clock that the Bible has given us has run out. Because from 2021 to 2028, is 7 years, okay? And from Psalms 20 to Psalms 28 is giving you a scenario of what? The tribulation. So it's no more, you know, let's wait to see. And our time to be raptured, for the church time to be raptured, is Pentecost at the wheat harvest. So there's no more time for people to be guessing and pulling up charts and everything. You're here, okay? Here, let's read Psalms 48. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king, which is Jesus. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. So God has proven, I'm watching over Israel. When the kings join forces, when they move back into the land, when the kings join forces, when they advance together, they saw her and were astonished. So God says, when they come back into the land, there's some kings that are going to join forces and come against Israel. And when they come against them, they're going to be defeated. Because listen what it says. When the kings joined forces and they advanced together, they saw her and were astonished. They fled in terror, trembling seized them, their pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them. God destroyed them like a ship of Tarshish shattered by the east wind. As we have heard that the Jews were coming back into the land, so now, she says, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty. Israel is there in the city of our God. God make her secure forever. So everybody that tries to go to war against Israel gets whipped. Do you realize that? They've been there since 1948. They've been attacked many times. And every nation that tries to attack them gets whipped. Israel comes back into the land and is mentioned right here in the 48th chapter of the 19th book of the Bible. 19th book, 48th chapter, the return of Israel. Okay? So God has been planning this a long time. Here we go. It says, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches the ends of the earth. Everybody's hearing about this, right? Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The village of Judah are glad because of your judgment. Walk around Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may go and tell them to the Lador Ha'akaron. And if your Bible says the next generation or the following generation, it's horrible English for Lador Ha'akaron, because Akaron is terminal, last, finished. Okay? So it says, when you see this happen, go and tell it to the last generation. Okay? It says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. So Israel comes back into the land, and so they begin the last generation. And we've been counting down ever since. Now, what will prove to the world that God is with Israel? Because 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, says that 19 years later, they're going to get Jerusalem back. So from 1948, they don't have Jerusalem. But in 1967, they win the Six-Day War. And exactly when 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8 says, they get Jerusalem back 19 years later. So we see God is controlling scripture, and he's controlling the earth through the word of God. And things are happening exactly when he says. So then we get to another prophecy that God wants to show the world that he's still active. When was the last time God did something to show the whole world, I'm still with you, we're still right, perfect time, don't worry about it, perfect timing. When did the last time God did this?
Last year.
Okay, let's think about it. Samuel being the rabbi who prophesied all the jubilees, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. He prophesied all of the jubilees, and he said Israel would not have control of Jerusalem until 1917. He prophesied this in 1217. He prophesied this in 1217 that Israel would not have get possession back of Jerusalem until 1917. What happened in 1917? General Allenby fights a war against the Turks. When he walks through Jerusalem, he makes a declaration called the Balfour Accords that we're giving this land back to the Jews. So he's saying this land belongs to the Jewish people. He was a Christian guy. This land belongs to the Jewish people. We've conquered the Turks. They're out of here. It's 1917. It's a Jubilee year, and these Turks are out of here, and I'm declaring that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. So he makes this declaration, sends it to the Rothschilds, and say, we want to give back the land. And of course, the Rothschilds reneged on it and gave the land to Britain. Okay? And so now Great Britain has control of Israel and the land. And now 50 years is a Jubilee, right? So from 1917 to 1967, Jerusalem has to be declared belonging to the Jews again. 50 years pass, Six-Day War. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews again, right? The last time God said, now who's going to declare Jerusalem belongs to the Jews? It's 50 years later. What year is it? 2017. Trump comes forward, out of everybody telling him not to do it, declares that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. He had to do it because God is controlling man. And so therefore, God was letting us know this is the 120th Jubilee. Once again, in a 50-year pattern, the world has declared Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And now you can see that I'm still active and doing what I said I would do in my word.
Yes.
So this is where we're sitting now, okay? The end of 6,000 years is done. The work week has been done. The wedding is being planned, okay? Israel has a last generation, but the last generation is not 70 years, it's 80. So from 1948 to 2028 is the last generation. And so we're in 2021. We only have 7 years left. That means you're out of prophecy time.
Right.
You understand? We don't have prophecy time. We don't have like, well, maybe in 10 years this will happen. Maybe it meant this. No, it clearly says 70, but 80 through troubled times, and then we'll fly away. Okay? So let's forget about the fact that they're trying to get you to take a shot that has a code number of 060606, okay? Because that code, and they're using a formula called the Luciferase, some chemical in it called Luciferase in it, okay? Forget about the fact that they're trying to shift all currency over to digital, okay? Forget about the fact that they built over 600 concentration camps that we already know about, but they're not telling you about anymore. Mm-hmm. And they got that governor out of Minnesota so that he can't talk about it anymore, too. So forget about the fact that they're still planning the demise of man. Forget about that, and it's clear. Forget about the fact that Israel right now is still looking for peace and being over 3,000 bombs. If somebody shot 3,000 bombs into the United States from Mexico, Mexico would be water. It would be like this is where the sea begins. It wouldn't even exist as a country anymore, right? They shot over 3,000 rockets into Israel, and the people are telling the Jews, behave yourself. Don't be too aggressive with them. Let's have a ceasefire. And we know, every nation knows, if this happened to you, mm-hmm. what would happen to that nation?
Right.
There'd be no people there. There'd be nothing there. It'd be completely burnt up, right? But we're telling Israel, relax. Don't do it. Be kind. It's really there. Mm-hmm. So forget the fact that the Bible is coming true right in front of your eyes. Even though you see all this, the biggest thing that should matter to you is that Israel was rebirthed in 1948. There's an 80-year prophecy about their last generation. We're 7 years away from that end of that prophecy, and there's a 7-year tribulation promise to the world that it's coming, and the church is going to be absent from that 7 years.
Yeah.
You have no more time. Okay? So this is why I'm trying it. I try my best not to get involved with people, because I know that people, they don't want to see, they want Jesus to come, but they want to plan for earth too. Mm-hmm. And they and you should, because the Bible says
occupy
till I come. So you have to understand, when it was time for the six-day war, God knew it was time. It didn't matter what people were doing. Who cares who's playing a baseball game and who's going to win this World Series this year, and who signed a new contract and who's buying a new house? When it comes to time for God to act, he acts. You understand? So that's what I'm trying to tell people, is that God is not concerned with earthly events that's going to make him change his biblical timeline.
Amen.
Okay? So tomorrow, in Hebrew class, we're going to talk about this some more, and we're going to talk about Rabbi Judah ben Samuel and his prophecy that he gave on his deathbed in 2017. All these 17s, 1917, 2017, all these 50-year and he gives a prophecy of the Jubilees that is so accurate. And it happened exactly the way he said it would. And so prophecy is being fulfilled, okay? The rapture, the wedding is a promise to the church and to Israel. Israel is going to have a wedding at the end. You know that, right?
Right.
Leah went to Rachel's wedding also. You know that, right?
Yep.
The church is going to go to Israel's wedding also. You know that, right? So I want you to know that the plan has already been settled, and you're not going to be able to move time. This is why it was so important for me when God called me to put this chart of 6,000 years being counted from the creation of Adam all the way to 2017. So you can see in the Bible how I've marked out every year, and God was mathematically marking out every year, even making sure that Abraham and his three brothers, their birth begin in the 1948th year of mankind, so that you would know after the next Adam, it would be 1948 years.
Yes.
I'm not playing with this. The world may be, but we can't play with it, because Pentecost is our harvest season. Wheat has a harvest season, and it's Pentecost. So we need to be prepared. We're going to be ready tomorrow morning?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.